Well, today we are observing the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as commanded in the Bible. I want to refer especially to Leviticus 23, verses 6 through 8. Let's read it here. It's in my notes. It tells us, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. But as mentioned a couple weeks ago, if you eat bread, it must be unleavened. Though not eating unleavened bread is not a sin, but rather the eating leavened bread would be the sin. Continuing in verse 7, on the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall make an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation as well. You shall do no customary work on it. This is where we are today, the seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We also find references to these holy days in Exodus 34 and Deuteronomy 16 in the Old Testament. I won't turn there for lack of time. Where they are to be kept annually on their appointed day. But let us now go to the New Testament to prove this was not just some Old Testament ritual that was done away at the time Jesus was crucified, rather observed long after his death, even today. So let's go to the New Testament to prove that just some Old Testament ritual. I'll just sort of did that one. We read in Matthew 26. If you want to turn there. Where the disciples were going to observe it along with Jesus Christ just before he was to be crucified. Verse 17. Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? Then in verse 18, he gives them the instructions. We also find this record in Mark 14, 12 through 15, and then again in Luke 22, verses 1 and 7. We also find reference to the days of unleavened bread in Acts 12, 3 and 20, verse 6. We'll use these scriptures as a background for the rest of today's message. My point is not just to prove that the days of unleavened bread were kept before Jesus Christ and his disciples, but later after his death, but rather we are still keeping them here today, right now in this congregation. And what is its meaning and effect on each and every one of us here in this room? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read first verses 7 and 8. In verse 7, therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, not with the old. But I want to go back up to verse 1 to pull this together. Because this was Paul's admonition to the church in Corinth. It says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that is the rest of the world out there, that man has his father's wife. And you are all puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you? For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord, Jesus Christ. So here he's saying he'd be better dead until Christ returns without defiling. It's like the leaven. The leaven in the church can be spread to everything and everybody if it's left unchecked. Remembering that leaven representing sin is just like ant poison. We've heard of rat poison. Now we're going to go to ant poison this time. That we use to kill ants. We may sprinkle a little bit around the entrance to the ant colony. But then one ant, or maybe several ants, will carry this poison back into the colony to the rest of the ants. Just like the ant poison doesn't kill just the one ant that picked it up, it will be shared by many, maybe all of the other ants in the colony. So the leaven of sin goes forth permeating the very fiber of the people, or the congregation, if you will, as it was in Corinth, until it can infect and eventually kill the whole church, like the ant colony, if left unchecked. And we've seen this happen in the past. Back in 95, this is basically what happened to the church. There was this leaven that came up in the church, and it permeated most of the church. Few got out alive, you know. Though the ants are not capable of knowing how to eradicate the poison, we have Christ's own instruction on how to get rid of the poison, the sin of leaven. We've already read verses 7 and 8, part of the instructions. Now let's drop down, if you will, to verse 9. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetousness, or the extortioners, or idolaters, since then you had need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolatry, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with the judging of those also who are outside? Do you not judge those on the inside? But those who are on the outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from among you, the evil person. Well, this past week, from Passover to this present day, has been our time of reflection. To therefore put away from ourselves, ourselves, the evil person, the person we were or are still struggling with. As we have traveled through this week, we have had the opportunity to take out the leaven or sin out of our lives. How are we doing? Did we get caught with a half-eaten donut? Donuts, you know, are only brought to share once a year by someone just during the days of unleavened bread, at least so it seems. Or was it that small package of crackers that you had with your soup last month? You didn't eat it, so you just stuck it in your pocket, intending to eat it later for a snack. Well, I got caught this year. Actually, yesterday, as a matter of fact. I was taking out the trash. Now, I just usually once or twice a week, and this is probably about the once, first of the time. And I lift up the bag out of the can. Guess what's under there? It's a baking soda box. Underneath the bag on the bottom of the can. I don't know how it got there. But I think we can all get caught somewhere along the way. Of course, these are only small physical things. What about the larger physical things we have to deal with in our lives? How are we doing? We're told not to compare ourselves with one another, but we can certainly compare ourselves with ourselves. Have we been asking God to show us where we have sinned and show us how to change? How have we grown in our endeavor to change from this time last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, or from the day we were baptized. I feel quite sure if we look back, we'll see more improvement than we realize. Remembering these changes are a matter of the process of our conversion and don't take place just at the time of Passover. If only it could be that easy, you know. You're baptized, it's over with, and go on, you know. It'd be nice. But remember, this time of reflection and examination and self-analysis does not and cannot stop at sundown tonight. It's a constant and narrow path that we must take in order to inherit the kingdom of God with our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not to look back at our sins, except to remind us that they have been forgiven by the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we don't touch them, the sin or the poison again. And we had something the other day mentioned about touching, and I thought that'd be quite applicable at this. You don't want to go back and touch that sin again. God's word is very simple to us. We're the ones who make it difficult. We have all in here been called to have a part in the preaching of the gospel. Whether it's standing up here speaking, whether it's whether your interaction with other people on the job, at the grocery store, where you get gas, wherever it is, we are a testimony to God's truth. And that's what people really look at. They're not looking what's here, but they're looking at our actions, because that's what they see. People out there in the world don't see this. You know, they see us. We're told in Luke 9:62, but Jesus said to him, "No one have putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom." Why? Just like the farmer plowing a field or you mowing your lawn, if you look back, you're going to get off track. Might ask Mr. Martins about that. I'm sure he knows all about that. Should you continue to the end of the row, you can become completely off track. We must stay focused at all times on the kingdom of God. Or just like the plowman, if we should keep looking back, we can become disoriented and allow the leaven of sin to poison us to death. Though we make things complicated because of our humanity, God makes our journey to his kingdom focused straight and narrow. Simply put, in Matthew 6:33. You want to turn there? You know, we read this many, many times every year. And it says simply, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Can it be put any plainer than that? You want to know how? How do we do that? I'm going to give 4 points, if you will. Point number one is study. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Verse 16, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness," or sin, more leaven in our lives. Ecclesiastes 12:12, "And further, my son, I admonish you by these, of the making of many books there is no end, but and much study is worrisome to the flesh." Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Well, how do you fear God and keep his commandments except by learning what he expects, except by studying his word? "For this is the whole duty of man, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil." Number 2 is to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Always be in a state of prayer. It doesn't mean going down the road driving, you know, your eyes closed, praying, you're going to run into something. But you need to be always in a constant state of prayer, in contact with God. Verse 21, test all things, hold fast what is good. Verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. If you turn with me to 1 Peter 4. Verse 7 through 9. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Hebrews 4:16, I'll refer to this one a little bit later. So I'll just leave it there and I'll refer to it in point four. Point number three is to fast. Not to make God come around to what we think, but fast to draw closer to God, to seek His will, not our own. We are living sacrifices. Romans 12:1, I'll just read this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and to do not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and the mind of Christ in you, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Number four, counsel. Don't be afraid to ask for help when you're having a difficult time with spiritual issue of sin or leaven. We have a very compassionate high priest, Jesus Christ, and one of his names is Counselor. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Remembering this, then, we are told in Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Finally, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Well, I hope by using the above points, we can continually throughout this year become more unleavened. But most of us had a frying pan in the sink that set for a little while. It's had hot water in it. And the grease in the bottom of the pan will come to the top. Well, just like the frying pan left in the sink with hot water in it allows grease, representing leaven and sin, to come to the surface, let us practice the points given and allow God's Holy Spirit in us to work, like putting a drop of the original Dawn soap. If you ever do that, watch the grease just dissipate. Let us do that and watch the grease or the leaven in our sin disappear. So, brethren, please again remember our Savior Jesus Christ and God the Father that they have offered us, what they have offered us, and always pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remembering this request or desire is not just for us only, but the whole world.